We've been looking at spiritual gifts on a Wednesday night. What is your gift? When you got saved, God gave you an ability. God gave you something, an enablement in your personality that makes you useful to the church, to the local New Testament church. Seven gifts of the Spirit in Romans chapter 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Okay? And Romans chapter 12 is going to show that. Just real quick review here. A spiritual gift up at the top. What the Lord does in you to shape your perspective on life and motivate your words and actions. How come you act the way you do? And aren't you glad all of us aren't the same? Amen? And I've watched a lot of Christians get so frustrated with each other. Not all, but some are like, how come they don't do things like I do? Well, because God gave them different gifts. Well, they just don't see it my way. And you know what? They're probably never going to either. And it would help if you understood that. It would help if you understood and you realize, okay, God put me here for a purpose and God put them here for a purpose. And as long as we're all yielded to the Holy Spirit, everything's fine. It's when we get in the flesh that we cause problems. First, every believer receives a gift at the new birth, but all of the spiritual gifts can be developed through grace. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, don't be untaught in this area of spiritual gifts. That's why we're covering it. Three more weeks left. But God enables or equips the believer with the ability to fulfill their services through spiritual gifts. Okay? And just a quick review. I tried to make this a little easier to look at. Prophecy. Those people are normally outspoken. They must apply the Word of God to situations so that sin is exposed. Okay? They're normally pretty rambunctious. They're like, when they see wrong, they got to speak out against it. And that's the gift. And there's more to it than that. But everything's black and white with a prophet. Nothing's gray. It's either right or it's wrong. Okay? And so somebody who has that gift, they're going to be a little more ambitious in that direction. No problem. The word ministry, it means serving. And someone with a gift of ministering, they demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. And they have the gift of serving. And then someone last week, we looked at the gift of teaching. What does a teacher do? They discover and validate truth so that the local body, our church, is biblically accurate. Okay, and there's obviously, I just summed all these up in a little bit. Tonight we're going to look at exhortation. What is exhortation? The word exhort means to stimulate to action with words. Okay? Somebody can tell you something that, wow, I think I can do that. You got exhorted. Okay? They helped you or motivated you to take action for what God wanted you to do in your life. All right? Have you ever been around somebody and it's like, wow, they lifted me up. I feel like I can live for God. I feel like I can be holy. I feel like I can love the... I can do this. That's an exhorter. And there are... And I didn't want to point out people tonight. I just hope as we go through this, I hope you're thinking, hey, that you're either saying, that's so-and-so, or that's me. Okay? That's that. I'm not talking me. I'm talking you. You saying that's me. You know what I mean? Okay, never mind. Exhortation. These people who have the gift of exhortation, they encourage Christians to grow spiritually by teaching, discipling, and counseling. And every church has that. So what does somebody with the gift of exhortation do? We're going to use the life of Paul, and I'm going to... I think Paul was... he had many gifts, but I think... He was all about helping people grow spiritually, right? Leading them to the Lord and getting the church established and helping them in the church. And the Apostle Paul is our example in many things, but he had the gift of exhortation, and so he's who we're going to be referring to. Are you ready? Somebody with a gift of exhortation, they have a motivation to urge people to their full spiritual maturity. maturity in Christ, okay? They're willing to become personally involved to see it achieved. And whereas some people, they would rather help somebody physically. An exhorter would rather help somebody spiritually. Okay, there's nothing wrong with feeding the poor and helping the sick, but an exhorter, they see things just that much differently. They want to help somebody grow spiritually. God's sovereignty is His favorite attribute of God. In other words, God's in control. In other words, we'll have somebody come into the church, and they got saved from a bad background. An exhorter, God's sovereignty or God's in control, God can still use you. God wants to use everything in your life. You say, oh, but I didn't get saved till I was 30 or 40 or I've got these horrible... You wait. God's in control and God's going to take... You give yourself to the Lord. Let me show you something in the Bible. And they're all about don't let anything discourage you. You keep going forward no matter what's in your past. Because God's sovereignty is what they're always referring to. Okay? Paul's goal was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 to 29. Paul said, I want everybody that I preach to grow spiritually. I want everybody to respond spiritually. Because one day you're going to stand before the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul, you get a crown for not just wanting the appearing, and I'll show you that here in just a second, but for longing to see Jesus. Paul was, I want every Christian to be perfect or mature when we stand before the Lord. What do I got to do to help you do that? Paul was all about exhorting. And what's another characteristic of somebody that has exhortation? They have an ability to discern where a person is in spiritual growth and to speak on their level. They can say, is this a young Christian? Is this someone who is medium? Is this someone who understands spiritual things? And they look to communicate. They don't want to ever talk over somebody's head. They don't want to ever, you know, when they're real careful to talk on people's level. Why? Because they want to communicate with them, help them, and lift them. Okay? And that's somebody with a gift of exhortation. They can identify obstacles in the lives of those who are not growing spiritually. They can, I'm thinking of so and so, and they're not faithful to church, how come so and so isn't growing? I know they need to do this and this, and I see, and they're real sensitive. Now, here's what you got to be careful of: an exhorter. One of my friends has the gift of exhortation, and I mean, if he's not here tonight, you'll probably never meet him. But every time my wife gets around him, whenever he greets you, he always goes, how are you doing? he does take it to another level, okay? And my wife always goes, I feel like he's psychoanalyzing me. but when you sit down with him, he can't wait to get into the Bible with you. He can't wait to share with you. I mean, literally, now he takes it a little far, but he is that way. He'll shake your hand and, you know, he's looking for, what are you growing spiritually? What's stopping you from growing spiritually? And I feel like every time I'm around him, I'm around the Apostle Paul. I really do, but you can take this too far. So just be careful. I have people in my mind when I'm thinking of about this. They prefer to offer spiritual help instead of physical help. Unlike the person with the gift of serving, they would rather offer physical help than spiritual help. Paul saw the Corinthians as spiritual babies, spiritual infants. And in 1 Corinthians 3:1, God says in the Bible, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said you were immature Christians. He said I could tell you were at a spiritual level that was way down here. And that's why the book of 1 Corinthians is a book of rebuke. Every chapter is a rebuke. You should be doing this. Knock this off. You should start this. Quit doing this. And the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, I can't. There's some things I can't teach you because you're not ready for it spiritually. Okay? And what's another characteristic? Somebody with a gift of exhortation, a desire to give precise steps of action in urging people towards spiritual maturity. Oh, what you need to do is you need to start coming out Saturday for soul winning. And if you'll start coming out Saturday for soul winning, then you can do this. And they get real excited about it because if you'll do this, then this, then this. And they come up with precise steps. Why? They're not trying to tell people what to do as much as I know what you need to do to grow spiritually. And they get excited about it. And so they come up with a recipe. And they give precise steps. And that makes the plan easy to understand, and the person that they're talking with, being helped, can see its potential. And if it's broken down enough, they're like, okay, growing spiritually seems like a big circle, but you said do this pie piece, and then do this pie piece, and then do the... Okay, you broke it down into small steps for me, spiritual growth, okay? Paul's writings in the Pauline epistles, they're filled with practical counsel and precise steps of action on how to grow spiritually. And of course, several verses that you could look at. We're not doing that tonight. But as you think of, you know, from Romans to Philemon, those are the Pauline epistles, all right? Next, someone with a gift of exhortation, they have a drive to explain truth with logical reasoning. Once again, they'll give a step-by-step, but then also an exhorter wants to build line upon line and precept upon precept. Growth steps are very important to them. First you get saved. Then the next thing you do, you get baptized. Then you become a member of the local church. Then you start reading your Bible. You start praying. You start going soul winning. And they'll give a logical, this is the logical step. Once again, it's all based here, all about spiritual growth. Paul's writings on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, if you've never read the chapter, it's 58 verses. They use that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, in law schools to teach lawyers how to present truth in a logical, step-by-step, and in that thinking. It is used in schools of law. The way God inspired Paul to write 1 Corinthians 15 against those who did not believe in the resurrection, it's God's word, amen? It's perfect, it's pure, but Paul's logic is used to this day, through God, in law schools to teach lawyers how to properly argue. I don't know if you realize that or not, okay? Why? Because God gave Paul the gift of exhortation. And, let me go back here. Reasoning was his basic method when dealing with the Jews, the Greeks, King Agrippa and others. You ever read First Acts where he goes to Mars Hill there in Greece and he says he saw the altar to the unknown God? How do you preach a sermon on the unknown God? And then he ties it in. You're too superstitious. And he starts preaching and gives the gospel to him. He just had a way of taking wherever they were at, no matter how low, and then he would start relating to them to do what? Get them saved and get them growing. Okay? That story didn't end up real well, but at least you can see his desire. What else does somebody with a gift of exhortation do? They have an ability to visualize spiritual achievement for people and to use this to motivate them to action. That's why a Sunday school teacher, if they can have the gift of teaching, but if they deal with people too long, they'll start to develop exhortation. And they'll start growing in another area. If they don't have, exhorters make great Sunday school teachers. Amen? And they'll grow in one way or the other. They want to use things to motivate people. Paul was a master in picturing spiritual goals for his workers and his churches. He reinforced goals by the example of his own life. And he used the, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And he's saying that while he's in prison. He said, don't be discouraged. He said, God's going to use me. God can use you. He said, I've learned in all things, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm here in prison. You can rejoice too. And the Apostle Paul was using that. He was using his own experiences to help motivate the people that he was ministering to. All right. What else? They have a desire for face-to-face discussion in order to determine and ensure a positive response. Okay, that's not to say that every person that's on Facebook has the gift of exhortation. That was funny. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay, never mind. But they do desire to have face-to-face discussion. They normally are good counselors. They're good counselors. They're good to sit down with, and they'll help you, and they encourage you to go take the next step in your Christian life. Paul's longing. How many times did he say in the Pauline epistles, "I wanted to see you, but Satan hindered me"? He longed to see his fellow believers. It was constantly. He constantly said that. He used personal conferences extensively. If you remember, he was one night, as far as you know, it says in the book of Acts, he was in Ephesus. He was a long time preaching. Look, that's God telling a preacher that he preached too long. That was an amen Pharaoh, amen sermon. All right? When the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, tells you you're a long time preaching, you're a long time preaching. But he was doing what? He knew he was seeing them for the last time. He was getting ready to go to Rome. And he had that gift of exhortation. They liked that face-to-face. They liked the meeting with people individually. Okay? Next. Somebody with a gift of exhortation. They have an ability to identify with people of different types and backgrounds in order to gain a wider hearing. I wasn't raised around prejudice. Okay? My grandpa in Kansas, the farmer right down the road, he was black, and we never thought anything of that. He was a hard working man. We would bale hay for him, all of that. He just worked. I wasn't raised around that. I understand once you get up around Boston, things can go south kind of quick in the prejudice field. Then, of course, being in the military, you can't be in the military and be prejudiced. You know, we didn't even use the term black. We just used the term, you know, light green and dark green Marine. You know what I mean? And that was it. I've watched some people. They only like dealing with certain types of people. You know, they have to dress this way and do this. Paul said, "I want to learn to relate to everybody. I don't shut anybody off because of their background, their income, their nationality, nothing." He said, "I want to help everybody get saved and grow in the Lord." Okay? And they're willing to be vulnerable to others, and normally they share their shortcomings and their weaknesses because they're trying to relate to somebody that may be having a hard time or a different background. "No, look, now, I've done this," and sometimes they can get a little too revealing. Sometimes they reveal things about themselves in trying to relate to people that they shouldn't relate, okay, that they should really keep quiet, but they're using that personal experience and they have the gift of exhortation. I hope you're thinking of somebody now. I as I've studied this, I have people that in my life, one that helped me tremendously and has been a blessing to me, but Paul explained, "I am made all things to all men." Why? "That I might by all means save some." He was all about getting the gospel to people. He was all about helping every person he met. He wanted to leave. Have you ever heard this? Every person you meet, you want to leave a spiritual imprint with. You're either leaving your fingerprints or the Holy Spirit's fingerprints. I want God to touch every person I meet through me. You understand? He said, "I'm everything, I'm all things to all men, so that by all means I can save a few, save some. That's an exhorter. That's the way an exhorter thinks. What else? They have a motivation to bring harmony between diverse groups of Christians and an awareness that harmony is basic to spiritual maturity. They also know the Beatitudes. What did our Savior teach us? "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called" what? "The sons of God." That title is given to peacemakers who don't like watching people feud. So they do what? Do what it's necessary to help them get along. When you see Paul work constantly to resolve conflicts and divisions between individuals and churches and groups, 1 Corinthians 3, you know, some say I'm of Apollos, some say I'm of Paul, some say I'm a, you know, I just follow Jesus. He said, you're too divided. And he helped that church. He said, quit your fussing and come together and unify. That's what an exhorter does. They help people get along. You understand? What else do they do? They have an ability to welcome personal tribulation as a chief motivator of spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul, you put him in jail, and he immediately starts writing. God uses him to inspire a letter to the Philippians, and then the other jail epistles to the Colossians. And then he's writing, and he's going, wow, I'm in a shipwreck? God's going to use this for His glory. I'm in jail? God's going to use this for His glory. They look at spirit. They look at every time they're in the dark, every time they're in a valley. Well, I'm in a valley now. Wait to see what God does with this point in my life. It's going to be a good mountaintop. That's the way an exhorter thinks. That's the way an exhorter thinks. I may be going through it now, but watch how God uses this in my life to get other people saved. Flat tire? Man, there's got to be somebody around here that's going to stop and help me that I can get the gospel to. That's an exhorter. Do you understand? That's an exhorter. It's not, oh, I knew I should have got that tire fixed last week. They're thinking, going to get, where's my tracks? Where's my tracks? That's an exhorter. That's an exhorter. Okay. They build people one-on-one. They're logical. They're precise. They're peacemakers. I already show you that. They help people get along. They welcome personal tribulation because of what is taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I glory in tribulation that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Whatever hard times I'm going through, when I'm weak, then He's strong. That's God using the Apostle Paul. Okay? Paul glorified in his infirmities because he saw that they brought Christ's power and a far greater weight of glory. Of course, gave you scripture there and things, and we're not looking at that tonight. But here we go. What happens if somebody with a gift of exhortation does not yield to the Holy Spirit, how can this gift be misused? Okay, are you ready? A few more. They raise the expectations of others prematurely. Okay? Exhorters can visualize long-range projects and goals for people. These are often explained without reference to the amount of time that it will be required to work them out. The people involved are led to assume that these projects and goals will be reached much sooner than they can be, and then they end up getting disheartened because it took longer than they thought. Okay, so an exhorter will say, hey, we can do this real quick, and boy, you're going to... And it took a lot longer. Okay, boy, that habit that you got there, you know, I don't know, fix something. Drugs... Boy, we'll get you through that next week, and it probably takes about a month for them to get through the addiction problem. Okay, and it can lead to sometimes they don't slow down with their goals. They can dishearten people and frustrate them by, you know, getting it premature. Number two, a misuse of exhortation is taking family time to counsel others. The delight of an exhorter is helping people with problems. Exhorters are willing to give whatever time is required to achieve results. All too often, this time cuts into family responsibilities. Exhorters assume their families will understand until they learn differently. And I know I hope you always feel if anything happens at 3 or 2 in the morning, I hope you feel you can call me. But you also know that doesn't, that hasn't happened since I've been here. Well, we don't want to bother the pastor. We don't. That hasn't happened. But I hope if something does happen at 2 in the morning, I hope you feel like you can call me and that you wouldn't be a burden to me. You understand? And I'm not here until 2 in the morning, okay, counseling with people. The latest I've been here, I think, is 10:45, okay? And I think one night it was 11. But I'm not here all... You understand? I don't stay here. I don't sleep here. Amen? Okay? So, but an exhorter can abuse their family in saying, well, I'm dealing with somebody here spiritually. and my family will just have to wait. That's why, let me give you a thought. If you're dealing with a spouse that says, we can go to church, but boy, I got to get home, then you cater to them. And you don't get so wrapped up in a conversation with somebody else that you forget. Do you understand? Because they're thinking, what? We got to get up early the next morning. No problem. No problem. Okay. But you take the family into consideration. Okay. You take the family in consideration. treating family and friends as projects rather than persons. Because exhorters put confidence in steps of action which they have which have proven effective. Boy, if I can just get you to do this, you'll grow spiritually. They're usually ready to share these steps to others, including family and friends, rather than making them feel like special people. The exhorter, if he doesn't yield to the Holy Spirit, may give the impression that friends and family are just more counseling projects. Oh, you're hooked on drugs? Oh, good. I can help you, you know. Now, I just took that. That's that. But you understand, you don't want somebody feeling like you're their latest missionary project. You understand? You want people feeling like people. If an exhorter doesn't yield to the Holy Spirit, people feel like projects. And they shouldn't feel that way. You understand? Okay, watch this. Next, sharing private illustrations without permission. The importance and effectiveness of personal illustrations is well known to exhorters. Illustrations explain how to apply steps of action and also how to motivate the listener to make them. Exhorters tend to use recent illustrations which are either premature or without permission. If I use people as an illustration in a sermon, I always try to say, would you mind if I mentioned you in the sermon? I think I've done it three times where I didn't ask permission. And people don't mind it as long as it's nice and positive. You know what I mean? But I have learned something about preaching. I prepare very heavily my sermons. Because if you get up here, if you're a Sunday school teacher, or you preach, junior church, or you preach anywhere, if you fly by the seat of your pants and you got Peter Pan syndrome, you know what I'm talking about? We'll just get up there and wing it. What always comes to your mind? What you dealt with that week. And then they give things, because they didn't prepare, from the pulpit, that is personal and shouldn't have been talked about for about 6 months. Then the person sitting in the pew says, that was me, and now I can't talk to you and I can't trust you. Be very careful. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you have a speaking opportunity, you prepare for that. You yield to the Holy Spirit ahead of time. Well, I'm just Spirit-led when I get up there. Well, you could be Spirit-led while you study. Amen. Right? God can lead you before you get up there. And then you follow the outline, and it's how you keep from hurting people. You understand? You can stay in the safe ground. Don't the Peter Pan stuff and Tinkerbell, that's garbage, okay? Here we go. Just next, what happens if this gift is misused? They jump into new projects without finishing existing ones. Sorry, I misspelled existing ones. Projects are often used by exhorters to reach ultimate goals. Exhorters tend to motivate others to get involved in a project, and then they abandon it for a better project. And then this often disillusions those who are involved in the first project. And I just mentioned that to you. Look, nothing frustrates people more than not finishing a job. Do you understand? Let people bring it to a finish, or you're going to frustrate. Next, encouraging others to depend on them rather than God and their authorities. People who receive help by following counsel that is given by exhorters tend to rely on those who gave it. Dr. Owens is a great counselor. He knows the danger of somebody being able to say, he changed my life. He prefers that you say, God used him in my life to help me. That's a safer way to say it, rather than that person right there. Wait a second, God used them. You understand? God used them, and God does work through people. But be careful, because they can have a tendency, if they get in the flesh, they can say, I changed that person's life, and that person... You understand, they took it too far. It was God using them to do that. That's what happens if they get in the flesh. Misuse of the gift of exhortation. They trust visible results rather than a true change of heart. Exhorters tend to communicate their acceptance and approval when those they're trying to help respond to the steps of action which are given. This can encourage outward conformity without an actual change of heart within. Okay? In other words, a changing of the outer without changing the inner. And you just have to be careful with that. Number 8, misuse of the gift of exhortation. They neglect proper emphasis of basic Bible doctrines. Any teaching which neglects practical application tends to be minimized by exhorters. I've known preachers that said this, I only preach what's practical. And so all their sermons are, nothing wrong with this now, I'm just telling you that's the tendency. Every sermon is a how-to. How-to. Last night's sermon by Dr. Owens was a doctrinal sermon. He's never disappointed me, and he took you through the Scriptures, and he showed you the immutability of God. He showed you how God will never fail you. It was a doctrinal sermon and what? And a practical sermon. I've watched some people only stress the practical. Well, I don't teach doctrine because it's not practical. Christians need both. Christians need both. If you teach too much how to, they get proud. If you teach too much doctrine, they get bored. There's a balance. Do you understand? So an exhorter has a tendency to go, oh, that's doctrine, I'll just stick to the practical. Uh-uh. Don't yield to the Holy Spirit when you preach. Yield to the Holy Spirit when you teach, and you'll have a balance. You won't avoid doctrine, okay? Because doctrinal teaching has been wrongly separated from its moral applications, exhorters have neglected it in favor of life-related teachings. I think we've made fun of theologians too long. I know what was taught at some conferences years ago. All theologians aren't bad. The only definition of a theologian is someone who puts educational, spiritual material in print. That's a theologian. If you took a Bible study and you put it on the internet and you sent it to a friend, you're a theologian. You put a Bible teaching in print. There's good theologians and there's bad theologians. I don't think you need to read everybody that writes something down from the Bible. You need to be careful who you read. But we villainize theologians too long. And then we criminalize those. It's almost like sometimes people who study their Bible, they're ashamed to say they study their Bible. That's wrong. You understand? That's steering away from that. And that kind of lends to this. Last thing, I believe this is the last one. What happens when the gift of exhortation is misused? They give counsel before discerning the type of person or problem. Exhorters tend to categorize the problem in their mind before hearing all the important facts. This results in the shame of answering a matter before fully hearing it. Exhorters also tend to have more confidence in their own counsel than in God's warnings on whom not to give counsel to. You say, apply this, Pastor. Okay. There's two sides to every story. That's why really, I think Christians in a church should encourage one another. I think Christians in, but the counseling, if you don't handle it right, well, unless you're experienced at what you're doing, no, I don't think a Christian ought to be counseling another Christian. A Sunday school teacher should be helping a Sunday school student. Beyond that, the counseling really needs to be left up to the pastor, because I've watched Christians, boy, I'm going to counsel somebody, and then they only hear one side of the story, and then they get, that's what this is. Do you understand? They don't listen to everything. They don't take everything into consideration. I'm watching a few Christians in our church counsel, and they don't know the Bible like they think they do. And I'm praying. I'm watching this from a distance, and I'm praying it doesn't lead to hurt. But I've not seen that end up right yet. Well, I gave so-and-so counsel. Just showed them, be careful. There's two sides to every story. Make sure you hear both sides. And God does say it's a shame if you answer a matter before you fully hear it. Tonight was the gift of exhortation. and those who want to help people grow spiritually. And I hope if that is your gift, you can nail it down. I hope if you're thinking of somebody. You know what? I think if you've been in church a long time, everybody in here can think of somebody who helped you. Wow, there was somebody that encouraged me and took me to the next step. And so you're either an exhorter or you've had an influence of an exhorter in your life. And I hope this is to help. What's the most important thing? We've looked at their gifts and then how to misuse it. If you don't what? Yield to the Holy Spirit. That's the most important thing we do. Let's pray. Father, please help us tonight. And Father, I thank you so much for your word. I pray.